And now back to the Jennifer Fallweiler Show.
It's really fun. And yeah.
Here's Jennifer.
Well, that's good news.
Jen Fallweiler, so delighted to have you joining me here this afternoon. Come say hello at thejfshow.com. That is also where you will find information about the fun giveaway I am doing to celebrate the 3-year anniversary of my memoir called Something Other Than God. You can find that at thejfshow.com. And right now, I'm so excited to talk with Dr. Kelly Flanagan. He's got this book, beautiful cover too. It's called Lovable, Embracing What Is Truest About You So You Can Truly Embrace Your Life. Like I said before the show, it reads like one of those very intimate, beautifully written literary memoirs, but it's also filled with practical advice about how you can let go of feelings of not being enough and not pursuing your passion and not discovering the person that God meant you to be. So I really am a big fan of it. I love what he's doing. Very excited to have him on the show. Dr. Kelly, welcome to the Jennifer Fallweiler Show.
Jennifer, thanks for having me. It's a great honor to be here.
Yeah, and I saw in your bio that your wife is also named Kelly. How fantastic is that?
Yeah, just today it created a problem with our hospital bill. So
they have I hadn't thought about that.
Oh, man, it creates all sorts of problems. But yeah, my wife is also named Kelly, spelled exactly the same way. So we create all sorts of confusion in the world.
Oh, my gosh, that is just so funny. Well, I love it. And I love this book. Now, is this how many books have you written? Remind me.
This is my first book. I published a short ebook, self-published it on marriage about 5 years ago. But this is my first full-length, traditionally published book.
Oh, okay, I thought it was, but then I mean, it's so well written, and you know, it really came together in such a strong way. I just assumed that you must have been writing books for a long time. So tell us about.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, tell us about sort of how this book came about. What was the inspiration behind this message that you really feel drawn to share?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple themes going on in the book that are sort of woven together. And, you know, one of the things that sort of laid the foundation for the book was about, I guess it was about 2014, I had been blogging for a while, and I published a couple of letters on my blog to my daughter. One of them was about her inner beauty, and it got a lot of traction and a lot of reads, and the Today Show eventually called us on, which was a very surreal experience. And after that happened, you know, I was fortunate to get connected with a really good agent, as sometimes happens after an appearance like that. And she said to me, you know, you're writing these great letters to your kids. Maybe you should write a parenting book. So I went home to my wife, Kelly, and said, you know, Kathy, my agent, thinks I should write a parenting book. And she looks at me like, there's no way you should be writing a parenting book. and she was right. And so we started to talk about, well, if it's not because of my parenting expertise that these letters are resonating, what is it? And one of the things we realized is that primarily what I was hearing from people was not, you know, I'm going to take this letter and give it to my kids. But what I was hearing was I needed to hear these words. And so we started to settle into this realization that each of us has a little one inside of us still needing to hear words that will assure us that we are enough, that we're not alone, and that we matter. And so that's what we ultimately decided to do, is write a book that at one level functioned as sort of a letter to my children, but was also a letter to the little kid in me and a letter to the little one in every reader.
Oh, I love it. And I mean, your message is so beautiful. And it really feels like, as they say, you know, there's the expression about there's nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come. And it really mm-hmm. feels like the time has come for this idea, because you talk a lot about people discovering their passions and then not being afraid to follow them. And I think there is so much fear that holds us back. And Kelly, tell us about that, the moment that you share at the beginning of the book about the whiteboard exercise that you did. I thought that was such a powerful way to illustrate these things that hold so many of us back.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so I was participating, as psychologists have to do, in continuing education, and I was participating in a whole weekend of it. Actually, it was about 16 hours. And so the whole weekend was focused around this theme, but a core part of the theme was helping us to identify. We were sort of going through the therapy in order to learn it, helping us to identify what are the core words that we tend to get stuck on and that define us. And what ultimately these words were words that symbolized our shame. So for me, for instance, my phrase was not interesting enough, sort of abandonable or forgettable. And so the instructor had us, each of us, there's probably about 30 of us in the room, had us call out the words that we had identified over the course of our exercises. And she wrote them all up on a whiteboard at the front of the room, which is pretty powerful to begin with. But then she pulled down a screen over the whiteboard, and she clicked a button on her computer, and a screen capture of another whiteboard appeared up on the screen. And they were all of the exact same words that we essentially had said, wow. Written with colors and in a different order. And they'd been at a different continuing education. And then she did it again and again and again from different seminars in different countries and on different continents. And it was just such a powerful illustration to me that this experience of shame is a universal one.
Yeah, and that absolutely resonated with my own experience, Kelly, when I read that part of the book. Again, you open the book with that, and the book is Lovable, Embracing What Is Truest About You So You Can Truly Embrace Your Life. And I don't know a single person who hasn't struggled with those kind of feelings. And like you say, I mean, shame is kind of the wider term for it, but the way it often is phrased to us is not enough. You know, you might feel that prompting to do that interesting thing, get involved in that ministry, just even do something in your neighborhood, and you think, I'm not enough. You know, there's that woman over there. She's so much better at that sort of thing than I am. I'm not enough as a mother. I'm not enough in my workplace. And that, I mean, you must see in your clinical practice, I mean, you must see this all the time, that people walk around with these feelings that they are not enough.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting as a psychologist, like, you very rarely have somebody come in on day one and say, you know, I'm struggling with shame and I feel not good enough. I need to rediscover my worthiness. What people come in presenting with is, I don't know, I'm stuck in my relationships. I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know my direction. And inevitably what happens over the course of the therapy is that you begin to trace the stuckness in those areas of life back to that shame and that sense of not being worthy. After we sort of came up with the theme of the book, this idea of writing to the little one in each of us, I kept sending proposals to Kathy, and as you noted, it's my first book, so I was sort of learning how to write a book, and she kept sort of rejecting them. And finally, one day she came back. I mean, over and over again for months and months and months.
I did that with my first book too. Yeah,
you've been through the process.
And finally,
one day she said to me on the phone, she goes, "Well, you keep sending me proposals with these three ideas: worthiness, purpose, and belonging." And I stopped her and I said, no, not worthiness, purpose, and belonging. Worthiness, then belonging, and then purpose. And she said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, that's really the order in which we progress and heal and grow spiritually and psychologically and emotionally. And she said, no, well, that's your book, Dr. Flanagan. You need to explain that. And so that's what we set about to do in Lovable, is explaining that oftentimes we dive right into working on our relationships or trying to figure out our sense of purpose. But if we don't go back and do that foundational work of embracing our worthiness, then those other tasks of life, relationships, and what we're going to do with our life, they turn into projects that will try to solve our shame rather than being expressions of our sense of worthiness.
Wow. And, you know, again, Dr. Kelly Flanagan, the book that people can go get is called Lovable. They can find it Barnes & Noble, Amazon, local bookstore, wherever they buy their books. Yeah, you really articulated something that I experienced. And of course, you articulate it in the book as well, that, you know, I had plenty of things I needed to work on, and just issues. I mean, we've all got issues. We've all got baggage. And I was an atheist for all my life until I converted. I, you know, became Christian, person of faith. And I found that it was so much easier to address issues, baggage, whatever, that I'd struggled with all my life once I really embraced my faith and got it and understood my identity as a child of God. Because when I was immersed in secular culture, my identity was the work that I did. My identity was my career. My identity was the clothes I wear, what the number on the scale said. And that is a very psychologically dangerous way to live, that, you know, that's what you're rooting your identity in. And when I could embrace a sense of worthiness, that I am enough, period, end of sentence, only because I'm a child of God, it's not my job, it's not anything else, then I could begin to solve some of those issues. But, I'd been spinning my wheels trying to solve them first, without going through that progression that you just highlighted, worthiness,
exactly.
Then belonging, then purpose. I think that's so powerful.
Exactly. You know, you'll appreciate this as a Catholic. Really, one of the core turning points in my own journey, and now the journeys of so many people that I've worked with, was when I came across Henry Nouwen's idea that we are becoming who we already are. Because
yes.
I think what you're getting, what you're getting at there is there's this sense of responsibility that I have to build a self, right? That I have none. My job, I've got this arduous task of building myself, and that really, you know, kind of discovering who we are is not a construction project. It's an excavation project. It's trying to kind of clear away all the debris and getting to embrace the self that was created for us, which is totally good enough.
Oh, I want to repeat that. That is one of the best quotes that anyone has said on this show in a very long time. Becoming yourself, you know, figuring out who you are. It's not a construction project. It's an excavation project. Oh, write that down, people. That is good. And that has exactly been my experience. Before I was a person of faith, I thought it was a construction project. I thought I had to build this self. And I'm so glad you brought up Nouwen too, that I'd read his work, but that I hadn't really put that together, that no, it's about finding the person that God made you to be and uncovering that those feelings of shame and all the things that stop you from being the person that you already are. That powerful, powerful insight.
Exactly. Because when we first encounter that shame, the message is who you are originally is not good enough. And so we start to layer all sorts of stuff on top of that. We start to hide who we are, try to create a different self that we think is acceptable. And so really a lot of it is just beginning to, you know, and with excavation project, I picture it more like with dinosaur remains, for instance. You know, it's not heavy machinery. It's a delicate brush, sort of brushing away the debris of what we've built up and discovering who you've been all along. And what a relief, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're also speaking to me because the first thing I wanted to do in life is I wanted to be a paleontologist, and it is.
No
it's,
way.
You know, I did, and if you're going to discover those bones, you know, that are hidden in the dirt, yeah, like you said, I mean, it is a slow process, and there's a lot of just pausing and thinking and listening, because if you jump in, like you said, with a bulldozer, you know, you're going to demolish everything that's there, and you really have to take your time and, you know, let these things appear to you as, you know, as they will, and not rush it. So that is, that's a great analogy. And another thing, Kelly, that I highlighted in your book and I loved is there was an interview that really got around with Stephen Colbert that I found deeply moving. This was a few years ago that he was interviewed, and he talked about how his discovering his passion was a redemptive thing in his life, that he had, what was it, two brothers and his father was killed in a plane crash. And I was deeply moved by that interview, and I particularly highlighted and clipped and saved the line where he talks about the suffering that can go with following your passion, even though it's redemptive. And he talked about loving the bomb. So I was delighted to see that you had that in your book, Lovable, as well. So talk to us about how you worked that into your story.
Yeah, well, you'll notice that story is right near the end of the book, because when we start to talk to people about, because essentially I think we have one of those quotes, and I probably won't get it exactly right, I'll be paraphrasing, but is he came to love the thing which he most wished had not happened to him, the death of his brothers and his father. And that concept is a hard one. When we are in the midst of our pain and deeply attached to our pain, as we tend to be, to suggest to somebody that they could eventually come to embrace that experience as part of their journey and part of what they're called to redeem can feel really minimizing and invalidating. So I put that near the end of the book because I think it can only really be kind of we can only really be open to it when we get to that point on the journey. And once we've embraced our worthiness and begun to get a sense of where we're headed with our life. But to me, that's one of the core ideas in my work with folks is it's a simple shorthand, but this idea that our passion plus our pain equals our purpose. So when we apply our passion, the thing that we love to do, the thing that makes our soul feel awake, to the redemption of our pain and the redemption of that pain in the world around us, that we very often, and I hesitate to say all the time, but most of the time we feel a clear sense of purpose.
Yeah. And again, I mean, so many things in this book, I was just saying out loud, just amen, amen, amen. That has been my experience. It's like you articulated so many things that I had found in my own life that, you know, when you embrace your passion, even in the midst of, you know, you've been through something difficult that you're going through, and you suffer for, you know, pursuing your passion in and of itself, you know, essentially what you're doing is you're taking something that would otherwise make you turn inward, like with Stephen Colbert and the death of his father and brothers, and you're turning it outward. For using our passions, at least in the sense that we're talking about and you talk about in your book, usually it is focused towards others, whether it's writing or, you know, creating music, Stephen Colbert with his comedy. And I think that that's the way it is redeemed, by taking something that would otherwise make us just turn inward, implode with our own pain, and turn it outward and say, how can I use this? How can I channel this to build up someone else in their own lives?
Absolutely. I mean, and there's even good research that shows when we can become outwardly focused in that way, we begin to experience joy even in painful circumstances. And so I don't think that I had thought about that difference between how much the early parts of the book are about inward focus, right, an inward journey of embracing our worth. But really, by the end of the book, the idea is that our journey does become an outward journey, where we begin to reach out to the world. Again, not to have the world solve our shame, but to begin to pass on the sense of worthiness that we discovered within us through the things that we love to do. I think that's a great way to frame it, and I had not thought of that, so thank you.
Yeah, well, I very much sense that in the book. And again, it was deeply moving to me, and it's beautifully written. It's not your sort of typical how to overcome this or overcome that. It really reads like a very literary style memoir. So, I mean, great job. I thought it was a fantastic book. And we're about out of time, but Dr. Kelly Flanagan, this has been a fascinating chat. Tell us again the name of the book and where people can find you online.
Yeah, thank you. So again, the name of the book is Lovable, Embracing What is Truest About You So You Can Truly Embrace Your Life. You can find that anywhere books are sold. And I hang out online at drkellyflanagan.com. It's drkellyflanagan.com. I blog there every Wednesday, and my blog subscribers get an email in their inbox at 5 o'clock Chicago time every Wednesday. And when you sign up for the blog, you get a free sample of Lovable and a free copy of that Marriage Manifesto ebook.
Oh, I love that. All right. And I love your routine there. That's great that you've got your every Wednesday, you do your updates. That is fantastic. Well, Dr. Kelly Flanagan, this has really been a pleasure. We'd love to chat with you again sometime. And thanks so much for joining us here on the Jennifer Fulweiler Show today.
I'd love to come back. Thank you, Jennifer.
All right. Thanks. And we have got more good stuff after this here on the Jennifer Fulweiler Show.